Yeah.
So, welcome to requesting information from the BC government, basic steps and what to expect. So, the agenda today is we'll talk a little bit about the legislation that applies when you make an FOI request to the BC government. The oversight of that legislation will go into some of the things that you need to keep in mind before you make your request. And then we'll jump right into what does that look like when you make a request, how to do it, things to keep in mind, expectation, tips, resources, and then we'll go into questions. So the Freedom of Information Protection Privacy Act of BC is the legislation that applies when you make an FOI request to the BC government. I say of BC because Alberta has a legislation that is called exactly the same and is not exactly the same. So just if you're actually doing a search and you're looking for that legislation, it's important to including BC, as you may end up with the Alberta one, and that would not necessarily be helpful. You will also see here that I identified the acronym as either FIPA or FOIPA. So it's known for both. If you are engaging with public servant within the government of BC, they will call it FOIPA. It's the same one, so just keep that in mind so that you don't confuse yourself with that one. So this particular legislation is the one that establishes your right of access to public information, or when I'm really talking about government information. So we're talking about information that includes your own personal information, so and also records that are in the custody and the control of a ministry of BC government. So the Office of the Information, the Privacy Commissioner, also known as the OIPC, is the entity that is an o that oversight oversees and enforces the BC FIPA. We're not going to go into a lot of information about this particular entity, in part because I'm planning on doing a future training that's going to go into quite a bit of details around how to make a complaint to this particular body, this entity, this agency, and also how to engage with them, what to expect, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to mention them sort of quickly in passing, but we're going to go and do some additional training later on about them specifically. So you're thinking of doing an FOI request. What are the things that you need to keep in mind before you make that FOI request? And I'm going to go into quite a bit of information. It's really worth it to be proactively doing things before you make an FOI request. It will save you a lot of heartache and a lot of time and a lot of frustration. So just be really mindful about some of the things that I will talk about today. So the very first thing is you need to identify what you're looking for. And that may seem like an obvious one, but I've seen a lot of FOI requests where someone is asking for everything. And then they get really frustrated because they're not going to get everything. And more importantly, the people that are trying to help them really don't understand what they're asking for. And we used to make jokes that those were, fishing expedition because really the person has not done their homework. So just identify what you're looking for. And I'll give you a lot of details as to how to best to do that. Find if the information is publicly available. It turns out there's a lot of information that's available, and it's worth really doing some digging around that. Understand the background of the information that you're seeking. So the more information, the more sort of complexity, or the more you understand the background to what you're looking for, the better you're going to be able to really zone in on exactly what's going to give you answers to your questions. And number four, understand where the information may be found. And this is where, there's going to be, if you send an FOI request and it's for the wrong ministry, for example, or the wrong entity, you may end up potentially having like 30 days of waiting and waiting only to be told that this is the wrong place. And now you've paid information and you still don't, you've paid to do this FOI request and you still really are nowhere clear near what you were looking for. So worth to really do some digging around that. So here are the things to keep in mind. FOI requests are requests for records. This is one of those strange things that people don't necessarily understand, but it's not a request for information. So if you had a question, do not make an FOI request. Just ask the question, and not through the FOI process. Just go to the ministry specifically that you think may have the answer and ask the question. Send an email to, there's like a deputy minister's office or an assistant deputy minister's office, and just ask the question. Chances are you'll actually get an answer. You can send it to the minister also. So if you have just this very specific question, ask the question and then see what happens, because you may actually get directed to someone that may have the question, the answer to your question, and then you can potentially ask for records that this person has on that topic. So it's worth really doing some due diligence around that. Note that the BC government is not required to create data sets, statistics, or records that do not exist. This is important. If it's not in the format that you want, if it's not recorded, it's not stored, they don't have it, they don't have to create it. So if someone does create something for you, they're doing it because they want to and not because they're required. They could literally just turn around and say there's nothing. So just be aware of that. So when we talk about records, what does that even mean? It really means information that's recorded and stored, but it means a lot of different things. There used to be a joke that if a public servant could write something in a napkin, that napkin could be FOI-able. And it's true. So keep that in mind when you're looking for records. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, I'm not really looking for records. I'm looking for data and I'm looking for statistics. And so what do I do in that case? Do I make an FOI request? And the very first thing that I would suggest you do is actually look at the statistical information data that is publicly available. So it turns out that BC government has a data catalog. It has BC government statistics. BC Stats has lots and different kinds of statistics. And the Ministry of Health has created a portal that's called Health Data Access. This one is a little trickier. You have to actually apply to have access to it. And they will ask you a whole battery of questions, but it might be something potentially, if you are involved with a nonprofit or academia, that you may actually be able to have access to that data. So it's worth exploring. Additionally, every single ministry have publicly available information on their website, and there's often a lot of data and stats that's part of those websites. So it's worth looking into them, so that you see what kind of statistics, what kind of data exists, and maybe it will inform what you decide to request. So you tell me, well, I've done some due diligence. I looked around. I haven't found anything that I was specifically looking for. So what do I do now? And I would say, this is where, again, I would not recommend doing an FOI request, and for a couple of different reasons. One is, you can actually go to the program area themselves and ask for data and stats, and they may actually create it for you. And not only that, but having that conversation may also explain or help you understand how their data is organized, and maybe even give you some insight on data that you weren't considering that may be really relevant to what you're trying to understand. So how do you say, okay, well, this is great, but how do I do this? Who do I direct this conversation to? And what is great with the BC government is that they have a BC government directory. And there's about 80% of public servants are identified. They have their name, their title, their phone number, and their email. And this is where it's organized by ministry and by branch. And clearly, when you go into it, you can identify, you know, who, for example, has research or data in their title within the branch that you're looking at. And they may actually be able to assist you in giving you the information you're looking for. Additionally, a lot of the ministries, not all of them, but a lot of them have publicly posted their organizational chart, which can help you narrow exactly which branch may have the information, because they will give you a little bit of information about each branch and what they do. So you look at this and maybe it's still confusing. You're still not sure. Again, going back to your minister's office, your deputy minister's office, your assistant deputy minister's office and saying, I'm looking for data. I'm wondering if you could redirect me to the right person so I can have a conversation. Now, one of the things that you may want to do is, you know, you could say I'm an individual looking for information. It's always a little bit more easier to have those kinds of data if you're saying, well, I'm working, I'm, you know, doing a research project, I am associated with a nonprofit, and, you know, this information will be utilized and communicated outwardly to the communities. So in some ways, what you're saying is the work that you're going to do is not just going to be for me personally, because I want to have an understanding, but it's actually going to be communicated outwardly. And that way, and that way you can really kind of say, you know, this is something that is of in the public interest. So just things to keep in mind when you're having those conversations with them. So you do this, they may ask you to ask the request in writing, and they could potentially forward it to the FOI group to go through the FOI process. They don't have to, they may do it. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? There's some pros and cons associated with it, but the good news is you know you're going to get the data within 30 days because now it falls within this category. And they may do it just because they're unsure if their executives are going to be okay with releasing that data. And that's a way for them to kind of click that process in to ensure that someone is actually approving this. It could also be that they're new and they're really not sure how to manage that. But not every group is going to do this, but it may happen. So just be aware of that. And the other thing that you should know is when you make an FOI request, it is forwarded to a centralized group within the BC government. That centralized group is called Information Access Operation, and they sit within the Ministry of Citizen Services. So there's some value in having the discussion directly with the people that have access to those stats or data, because they understand the stats and data that they have access to, versus that centralized group, which may not. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, you know, I'm not looking for stats. I'm not looking for data. I'm really looking for records. Maybe I'm looking for a particular report, or maybe I'm just looking for a slew of emails, and what should I do? So you may actually want to go and look at the kind of records that are already published. I mentioned earlier, there's lots of websites, and there's been a push for a number of years now for the government to be more transparent. What that means is they're actually really very specific section of FOIPA that will say, we want you to put this information outwardly. It's in the public interest. There's nothing there that's sensitive. And really, by doing this, we will minimize the number of FOI requests. And let me be very frank, ministries hate FOI requests, not because they don't want, they have things to hide, but because it's really time consuming and it's really competing with their day-to-day work and responsibilities. So it is in their best interest to really proactively release as much information outwardly as they can. So I definitely recommend that you do some due diligence and look at what's out there. So for example, you could say, well, you know, I'm kind of curious about a particular report, and it's directly related to the Ministry of Health. And, you know, clicking on the health and reports and publication, it might just be that that report is right there. And now you save yourself the fee of making an FOI request and the 30 days or plus that potentially it would take for you to get this information. Now, under Section 70 of FOIPA, it may be that those records are partially severed. It doesn't happen very often. But it could be that those are severed, partially severed. And if that's the case, you would see there would be like blank section, and they would be a little section of FOIPA that would identify how this would be severed. So again, going back to understanding where the records may be found is extremely important. Section 6 of FOIPA is duty to assist. So when it comes to you making an FOI request, there is a requirement for public servant to assist you in getting the information you're looking for. They've developed sort of a generic general support line. It's phone and email. This is great if you're looking for information about how to make an FOI request in the process, but it's not the area or the place that I would go to if you had some very detailed questions about the actual program and the records themselves, because again, this fits within the centralized group. And unless you're asking a question that is about the Ministry of Citizen Services, chances are they may not have that type of knowledge. And I would recommend at that point to go back to UBC government directory and again, asking those lovely people who, you know, yeah, I'm looking for this kind of records. Do you have that kind of information? So I'll give you a perfect example. Ministry of Health, you could say, you know, I'm looking for this. If it's a policy of the ministry, they will have those records, for example. But what if you're asking for something and potentially those records are within the health authorities? Well, when you ask the question, they should be able to clearly communicate that to you, and you would save yourself from having to go through all of those hoops for nothing. The other thing that's super helpful in terms of before you develop your FOI request or to help you kind of navigate the details of it is to have a really good understanding of the background of government or very specifically the ministries that you're looking into. So under section 71.1 of FIPA, there is a process by which government is compelling ministries to release very specific type of records. Two of these types of records are transition binder for new premier or minister and the ministers. So the transition binder for a new premier or minister, it's basically when you have a new MLA that comes into this position of a minister or premier, they will literally create a binder. It used to be a binder. I don't know. I'm assuming that some of them may want something digitally, but I've actually seen a physical binder, huge binder, that would give you anything you wanted to know about this ministry. And think of it this way. Again, new MLA comes in. They may have some understanding of the ministry as a whole, but maybe they don't really understand like the details of it, all the different programs, like what's the business, like, if you think there's some ministries are really small, so the binder may not be very big, but there's some that are very large and complex, and that may be kind of really overwhelming to try to make sense of it. And this document is just like, you know, here's all the information you've ever wanted to know. Now, this binder will be severed or redacted partially because they will also communicate some things that are really sensitive at that moment of when they create that particular binder, information of things that may not be public at the time that are sensitive, maybe some advice that they don't want, you know, other people to know. But in general, it will give you a really good overview of that ministry. So worth looking into. The other piece of records that are also helpful is a monthly briefing notes summaries. So briefing note, for those of you that are not familiar with what that is basically a giving updates on a regular basis to the ministers on what is going on within this ministry. So it could be, you know, informative, like explaining ideas. It could just summarize some analysis that's been done, explain some decision. It could just also provide some advice on it when it comes to decision. And what you're going to see in the summary is not the actual briefing note, but it will give you which ministry wrote it, who it is sent to, and it will give you the title of it, and it will give you really the branch of that ministry that wrote it. So what's helpful is, again, if let's say you just kind of had an interest in making an FOI request, like, for example, this is super helpful for journalists, because now you can just go into the Ministry of Emergency and Climate Change and go, let's look at what they've been doing for the last month and what they've been working on. And it will give you like some really clear, succinct point of reference, and it can inform, okay, so now I know this branch is working on this and I want to have more information. So maybe I go back to that branch, look in my VC directory, who's that in that branch. And now I can identify who my executive director for that's working on this particular subject. And I can ask for all records of that assistant deputy minister, the executive directors, and now it will give me exactly who's working on this particular project. The other way to get a really good sense of like the ministry and who is involved and who may have records that you're looking for a particular topic is previous FOI requests. So there is a requirement under open government. So again, that whole transparency piece, that all FOI requests package and their release letters are publicly available online. So if you click on these links, and we will share this PowerPoint presentation with all of you after our training session, and we will also post that PowerPoint presentation on the website with the training video. And you'll be able to click on all these links and go directly to find all the information that you see here. We will also, as previously mentioned in some of the other meeting, is creating a FOI inventory that will have not just BC government inventory of FOI requests, but other entities that may have also information related to your topic and may inform the FOI request that you are looking at making. Additionally, the other place that you may also want to look at before you make your FOI request is that there's actually a Excel spreadsheet that the government is making public that identified the actual requests that are currently being processed. So what I noticed when I made an FOI request is that there was a couple of other people that had made the same FOI request or very similar. And maybe the time frame was different, so maybe mine had a little more records. But I realized at that point that we had all made the same FOI request, really. And I thought, well, this is where having an inventory and for this training to be provided for people to really sort of mitigate that from happening again and all working together versus, you know, all individually on our own, really silo doing this. Okay, so you know you're looking for records, you have looked everywhere, and the information is not out there, nobody has made an FOI request, it's not being in the process of making similar FOI requests, and you are saying, okay, I am ready to make this FOI request. Okay, so here, again, some things that you want that are really, really important. So you want to identify the right ministry and agency. We mentioned that a couple times. Be specific about which record you want and refine your request as much as possible. So let me be clear here. Large and complex requests take longer to process than small, simple requests. And you may end up with having to be charged with a processing fee. So things to keep in mind, and we'll go into more details around that. Okay, so the drafting of the FOI request. So you want to identify clearly the records of interest, really important, clearly and succinctly. It's worth putting a date range, because again, you have to remember when they're searching for these records, and if you say all records, it may include email. If someone has been in FOI, if someone has been working for government for 20, 30 years, and they have to look at 25 or 30 years worth of email, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a fee associated with that. So just be really mindful and do, this is where the, all the proactive research that you've done will make this really easy to do. Specific individual or position that you are saying, you know, I want you to search this person. So for example, if someone says, I want to look for information that is in the custody and control of Bonnie Henry. Well, everyone knows Bonnie Henry is currently working for BC government. If she wasn't, it'd be in the public news. So you can make a request specific to her saying, I would like all records in her possession that is for this time frame for this particular topic. Now, unless you know for a fact that this person is still working in that position, I would strongly suggest that you utilize that position versus the name. There's a high level of turnaround within government. People move from different branch to different branch to different ministry. The last thing you want is to make an FOI request for a particular person, and this person is no longer in the ministry. And so now there is that confusion, and they may have to get back in touch with you to clarify. And again, it's just waste of time, right? So just, it's, again, this is worth you doing a little bit of research. So when we say be clear and succinct, if your request is asking for too many things, it will be complex. It will become complex. So I always say the FOI file will move through the system at the speed of its most complex component. This is really important to remember. So there is potentially some value in splitting things, especially if there's something you want to know right away and there's something that it would be nice to have, but it does, it's not a requirement. Now, if you make the request at the same time and you're the same requester, they may just flunk them together. So you may want to stagger them so that it's not so easy for them to do that. And or you ask somebody else to make the request, the second request, so that that way they literally have no opportunity to put them together. The other thing that you may want to keep in mind is that you may also go for something kind of more like strategic in how you're approaching things. So what if you don't know a lot about that topic and you can say, well, I want to know what the executives got in terms of information. So I'm going to direct this to my, you know, executive directors, my assistant deputy ministers and my deputy ministers and maybe the minister. And I will say, I want everything that these four people have on this particular topic in the last 2 years. And then you get this information. Once you have it, what you get is who is working under them on these particular topic. And now you can be making a much more focused and directed FOI request. But because you were targeted and you were clear, it's not going to take you 3 years to get the information. It's going to probably, you know, as easy as possible. And you have the opportunity at that point to really get the information you're looking for. Other thing to consider when you're drafting your FOI request, feel free to provide some contextual information. Again, you know, you can say, this is kind of my thought process and this is what I'm looking for. You may also want to identify the desired format of the records. So you could say, I don't want to get it digitally. I really actually want to have paper copies. I want you to send this to me. Or if for some reason you are having an FOI request and it's for stats or data, you could say, I would like to have it in an Excel spreadsheet so that I can manipulate it. You may identify the version of the document. So if you're looking for a very specific report or policy, you can say, I'd like to have the final copy and I would like to have the very first draft. And now you can see how much change were done between these two. You may also identify the type of records that you're not interested in. So for example, you could say, well, I'm really interested in all the records that inform a particular health policy, but I'm not interested in having the personal information of individual patients. So you're clearly identifying, like, here's my line in the sand, like, or I'm not interested in having records that are publicly available. Okay, so you've done all your due diligence. You are ready to make your FOI request. So BC government has an online form and you can click on it and it has a whole slew of different questions they ask you. But you don't have to fill out that form. You can send your requests in an email, or you can send it by mail. And one of the things that I would suggest is that in the email or the mail or your letter is to have all the information that they request in the online form, because that will save you potentially some back and forth with them. Fees. So there is a non-refundable application fee of $10 per request for general information. So if you're making an FOI request for your own personal health records, for example, you do not have to pay anything. But if you're requesting information that is government information, general information from a ministry, you have to pay that $10 per request. Here's all the different ways that you can pay this fee. I'm not going to go into each example, but again, when you have a copy of this presentation, you can go back and look at it. Okay, so is that application fee the only fee? It turns out no. You may find yourself dealing with a processing fee. Now, here's the thing. The processing fee, 99% of the time, is because the search for records is more than 3 hours. Keep that in mind. So what that means is if you're really succinct in what your request looks like and what you're asking, and you've done your due diligence and you've done your research and you know exactly who has those records, you will not have that processing fee because it will not take them more than 3 hours to find the information or, sorry, the records that you're looking for. So research and asking for specific records, being really refined in the topic and the scope. I know I'm literally repeating myself, but this is really, really important. It will save you a lot of heartache. Okay, so we have made our FOI requests. So what does that basic FOI process look like? So again, remember how I said all of FOI requests go to the centralized group within the Ministry of Citizen Services and their call information access operation, IAO. So IAO receives the file, your request, sorry. They create a file. They send you an acknowledgement letter saying, we've received the file. Then they send the ministry a call for record. And in that call for record, there is a fee and risk assessment. So they're asking them, tell me how long you think it's going to take you to search those for those records. And tell me the sensitivity level of these records. Is there anything that I need to be aware that I should sever when you give me those records? So in a really simple FOI request, you will have no fee estimate. Sorry, you will have a fee estimate, but you will have no fee associated with your request. And you have your risk analysis will be there. So then once the ministry has gathered all the records, they will give back to IAO that fee estimate, that risk assessment, the records. And now the analyst that is on your file will review all the records with the legislative lens in mind and will assess whether anything in those records should be severed or redacted. They look at this, they look very specifically at part two of the legislation that gives exemption to your access to records. And this is why they have in the document, they have to give you the section of the act that was utilized to take this information out of the document when you receive it. So once they have gone through the entire document, they've identified things that should be severed, they've identified the section of it, it's all done in red line and is provided back to the ministry. And they say to the ministry, look at what we've done, proposed, and tell us if you're comfortable with this release package. And if you are, please approve it and send it back to us. Once they get that document that is a red line with the approval or the stamp of approval from the ministry, they create the response package where all that information that was identified as meeting those exemption is deleted or hidden. Then they send the response package and the response letter, identify those sections, to the requester. Once they've done that, within about 25 to 48 hours, they post the package and the letter without identifying the requester online. So additional tips to keep in mind. Know your file, keep detailed notes, keep in mind that requests must be interpreted, be persistent, get things in writing, and more tips. And I'm going to go through them specifically. So when I say know your files, when you get that acknowledgement letter, remember I mentioned you're going to receive an acknowledgement letter saying we have received your FOI request. So there's going to be three very important components to this. One is it gives you the official date at which they received that FOI request. They're also going to give you the file number of your request, and they're going to give you the name of the analyst within IAO that is working on your file and their contact info. The very first thing you want to do is look at that receive date and calculate your due date, the due date at which they have to give you the records that you requested. So you're going to say, well, how do I calculate that? How does that work? So the legislation states that the ministry has 30 business days. That means it doesn't include the weekends and it doesn't include holidays. 30 business days to respond to this request. So go on your calendar, write down what that date is, and then keep track of it. Now, is there circumstances where they can change that date? Yes. If there's a very large volume of records, which is almost very unlikely to use that exact, excuse is the wrong word, but the reason for it, because they have all these new system now that gather all the records, put them in PDF, take duplicates out, flunk everything together. And this is a lot easier for them to manage. So it's not really a reason for time extension anymore. However, consultation may be one. So for example, if you ask records for the Ministry of Health, and there's a whole slew of records of a health authority involved in those records, there's a high likelihood that the ministry will ask that there be a consultation with that health authority so that they are okay with the proposed severing that is going to occur. So consultation occur. The other reason that may actually extend that date is if they are really overwhelmed by work. And it sounds kind of silly, but it's often one of the most likely circumstances. And, you know, keep in mind that summer, there's a lot of holiday, Christmas, there's a lot of holidays, spring break, there's a lot of holidays, people are gone often. And also remember that flu season, lots of people get sick. So, you know, this is one of those things that they may just be in a place where it's just a lot for them. Not great. They will often ask you to consent to the extension, and you definitely have the ability to say no to that. So just keep that in mind. They could also be asking for an extension because they don't understand your request very well. So again, where all that research, proactive research is really worth it, because in this case, if they don't understand it, they may actually ask for time extension. Keep detailed notes. This is extremely important. Keep everything that you're doing in regards to that request, have notes. So you may say to me, well, okay, well, I just had a conversation with this analyst and, you know, that was done verbally and I have no notes. What do I do? My suggestion to you is to actually write an email back to them and say, this is like a summary of our conversation. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Can you please confirm that my understanding is correct? And now you actually have a physical written record of what this conversation was. And there's a couple of different reasons why this is really important. One, it will help you if someone, you know, 2 months later says, oh, that's not how things work. Well, you have all these notes and you can say, well, on this date, we had this conversation and this is what I said And this is what you said, and you confirmed that you were on the same page as me. So now the person can't say, well, it was a misunderstanding. If you are unhappy and there is a situation where you want to make a complaint to the Office of the Information and Privacy Commissioner, having all of these details note are gold. It's very, very helpful. So keep that in mind. Requests must be interpreted. So remember how I said information access operation is a centralized group. They're sitting within the Ministry of Citizen Services. They get your request. They have to interpret it. Then they have to send it to a more sort of a gatekeeper within the ministry that will get all the FOI requests for that ministry. That person will interpret it. Then they will send it to the branch who potentially have their own gatekeeper who will also interpret your request. And then they will go to the person potentially who may have the records. So you see how this is a potential for miscommunication, you know, that telephone games where you have a number of different people that are connecting with each other, and maybe they don't have the same understanding of your request as you originally had. So this is where having really succinct, clear FOI requests is really, really important. Be persistent. An FOI analyst may have 30 to 40 files. If you are consistently connecting and engaging with them, your FOI request is going to be on the top of that pile. If you are not engaging with them, it may just be at the bottom. So just keep that in mind. And there's nothing wrong with being persistent. You know, as long as you're just really friendly and, you know, just really engaging in them, that's their job, right? So a couple things to keep in mind. This entire process, use it as an opportunity to learn. And remember that duty to assist, they have to help you. That is part of the legislation. They understand that. So collaborate, ask questions. You know, this is your opportunity to just kind of understand how things work. So don't be, you know, so hard on yourself, because this can actually be interesting. This is about understanding our government. And I think this is actually a good thing. It's all part of our democratic rights, right? Okay, so you've gone through all these different things. You get a response package and they're severing, and you're trying to make sense of those severing. So what is really important for you to know is there is mandatory severing and there is discretionary severing. Those four different exemptions are mandatory. What means is that the ministry is absolutely has to withhold this information. Only circumstances where they could release this information is under section 25. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this section because we're going to do some additional training around it. But basically, if you're curious, you can just go on the legislation, look at section 25. And it basically says that if you are asking information and it is in the public interest for this information to be outwardly published, that this may not no longer apply. But independently from that, if you find those kinds of specific severing section, they're basically telling you we have no other options. We have to take it down. Now, their understanding of how this applies could be questioned. And this is the key here, right? So you can still go to the commission and say, I don't think that section applies. You need to explain to me why it applies. Now let's talk about the discretionary section, because, you know, you saw those four section and you said, well, I've made an FOI request and now I have things severed under section 13 and 16 and 17 and 15. And like, you're telling me that they didn't have to? And no, they didn't. It's at their discretion. So what does that mean? It means that you get your response package and you see all the severing and you think to yourself, well, you know what? Is there any possibility that this information can be provided to me? And I would actually suggest that you go back to your FOI analyst and say, hello, Mr. Analyst, is there any possibility that the ministry would be willing to provide that information to me, even though they severed it? I would like you to contact them and ask them if they'd be willing to release more information and then see what happens. And if they're really adamant that they don't, then, and you're really quite clear that you think this information should be released, then you may want to engage with the Office of the Information and, sorry, yeah, the Office of the Information and Privacy Commissioner. And again, we'll do some future training around all of this, but here's something you may want to consider. When you get your response letter, in that response letter, it will identify all the section of the act that apply to your records that were severed under, but it will also identify clearly how to get in touch with the EYPC and what your time frame is to request a review. So important to keep that response letter with you. So here are some additional resources. Some of it was actually already mentioned within the presentation. That presentation will be provided to you. You can click on the link and look at all of these different things yourself and enjoy and do a little exploration on your own. And if you have any questions about this particular presentation or feedback, we invite you to email the FOI committee at info4@proton.me. And we also are providing some drop-by meeting information session so that if you are also interested in participating in the session, also please email us. And I would love, I just really appreciate everyone that is participating in this training. Thank you so very much. And